And we're transmitting. This is Rachel and Sarah.
Hello.
Reporting on day 33 from Atlanta to the Atlantic. Atlanta to the Atlantic. You want to remind us what that is, Sarah?
In Atlanta to the Atlantic is our project where we are traveling in kayaks from Atlanta to the Atlantic Ocean over 40 days.
So day 33 began at a sandbar with the, with Kathy Sackis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the sandbar.
So it was our second day with Kathy, and we woke up and had a nice gentle morning, packing up stuff and made coffee and oatmeal and got ready to go.
And we were trying to get ready to beat Paddle Georgia. So we were on track to leave pretty early, and Rachel handed the, or she set the Garmin on the kayak. I thought that she strapped it in for whatever reason, and we were a little rushed. And so the big thing that happened was basically as we were, she and Kathy got into the water first, and I was trying to catch up with them, and I hadn't been quite ready. We also forgot to do our ritual for the first time, which was interesting that that all happened. And as I was pulling off about, I don't know how far I wasn't too far from the shore, and it wasn't too deep, but I was like trying to avoid some sticks. And then all of a sudden I saw something like plunk off the left side of my boat, and I was like, oh no, that was the Garmin. And, I just like, yeah, that was, I, at first I was like, oh, it's too deep to get it. But then Rachel was like, yelled some obscenities. And Rachel was like, it's shallow, get out, can you see it? And then I got out and we started searching, and they came back and we all searched for a good solid hour. But it was hard because you could actually see the ground in for a lot of under the water, but then as soon as you moved because of the mud and the sediment, it just like kicked up this cloud. So it made it hard to actually like search quickly. And it was, I guess, in the sort of surprise of the moment, it was hard to know exactly where I was. And I had like feelings about it, but it was hard to, you know, I kept on thinking with every, like at every look, glance, that we would find this little machine, and we did not.
It's funny the different sort of experiences, because I think Kathy and I were really kind of gently just like hanging out in the water. We weren't, I can speak for myself, like that there wasn't like a general sense of being rushed. It was a very gentle morning in my exit, and we were like, just the light was very beautiful, and we were talking about the different ways that it kind of dapples through the, as the, oh, and there were these, like a little bit later, actually, there were these deer that came out on the sandbar, and then they walked to the edge of the water in the sandbar, and then they swam across, and there was a bluff on the other side, and,
that was as we were searching.
Yeah. So, and then when Sarah started screaming and kind of flailing, I was like, there seemed to me like the question of like, what do I do? Like, get out. You can, you know, if you get out and look. And then we all like walk. Kathy like gently sort of stayed in her boat and like look, because it was quite shallow. There was a little area that was deeper, but she stayed in her boat and just like gently sort of moved around. And I got out, and like for me, it was walking and using my feet to feel everything. So it was a very meditative kind of experience, because you'd have to sort of tune in to what you're feeling, or like what you can perceive, you know, whether that's with your eyes and you stand still for a long time and wait for the the dust to settle in the water, or else if you're moving very slowly with like the transferring your weight to one foot and moving the tips of your toes around, and we just didn't find it. It was too big of an area and too sort of unknown of like where it could have gone, and there was a big drift as well. So we looked for an hour and we couldn't find it, and that's okay. There were all of these mussels. there were a lot of animal mussel shells that were the right size and the right this is the front.
Yes.
We're close. So we're seeing Paddle Georgia come up as well right now. The front guard of that. So we looked for a long time.
The mussels.
Yeah, they are like the exact same color and the exact same size as the Garmin in some of them were. And so we kept thinking, oh, that's it. And then I wasn't. So
I saved one of them to be our substitute Garmin.
Oh, nice. And I feel put a Velcro strip on it.
Yeah. Also, it's funny because Tom and Suzanne worked so hard to help us figure out the data for the Garmin, so that is really the whole reason that we I desperately wanted to find it. Tom's been an hour on the phone with me the other day troubleshooting the Garmin so that it could help us through and track our data. But it is kind of hilarious because we've had so many moments of like almost losing the Garmin. So in a way, having this, this was like letting go of that material object and just being okay with that. And luckily we've learned to kind of really track where we are anyway through the maps and our bodies and occasionally looking at the phone to double check, but I feel like it's been fun also to just kind of, when I didn't have the Garmin, we would trade on and off every day. I was really focused on like feeling the curves and watching the map without looking at the numbers, which was is actually easier to do on the Altamaha because there's less curves. And so you're not always going around a bend, but it's interesting this, letting go of that technology despite wanting to use it, is a change. So yeah. Thank you, Garmin. Thank you, Tom and Suzanne, for helping us. And sorry, we had to sacrifice you to the river.
We didn't sacrifice Tom and Suzanne to the river.
No,
just the Garmin.
Just the Garmin.
And we did learn a lot from it. I'm sorry we don't have it either, because it was really cool to use. But hey ho! And so then we went on and we battled the winds. We overlapped then with Paddle Georgia and talked to a really wonderful woman named Janina briefly on the water, who seems like she's doing interesting work getting African American people on the water paddling, and
the Paddle Georgia people. There was a moment when we were in the beginning where we were like in a kind of straightaway, and I turned around to catch something on the live stream camera, and all of a sudden I was like, there are six kayaks approaching. It felt like being fada or something. Like
I'm less Sarah's pretty anxious about the Paddle Georgia.
It's
different.
Weird to all of a sudden have six kayaks. Yeah. We haven't seen hardly any other kayaks on this whole journey, and then all of a sudden there were six that were following us. But actually then later as we stopped, those six, the lead team, kind of passed us, and then Janina came, and then then we stopped for our big break.
We took a good big break. We found a giant sandbar that had a little cluster of trees that in the middle of it, sort of far away from the water, but that had the way it was shaped, it meant that there was like a lot of shade in a very small place that was going to stay for a long time. And so we stayed in that shade for many hours, and you could see the river through it, but nobody could see you. So you could just see all these people gently passing by, kind of one, two, four at a time, for a few hours, but we mostly slept and ate and talked and lounged, as Kathy Saka said, lionesses.
Lionesses.
In the Serengeti.
Lionesses in the Serengeti. Yeah. Yes.
So yeah. That was brilliant. And just a really precious time to get to spend with Kathy as well.
And Kit came by.
Yeah.
And that was fun to see him, to run into him on the river.
You want some of my stuff?
No, we're good for stuff. Thanks, though. Appreciate it.
Oh, my God. My fanny pack is, like, bobbing in the water. Mm. Whoops. Oh, well. Yeah. And then also, actually, it was sort of miraculous, I thought, that I went down to drop something off because I saw Kit in the water. And then Joe Cook, who we've talked to many times and been in touch with, but haven't actually met in person. Or maybe you met him in person.
I met him in person at this conference.
I hadn't met him in person yet. And he happened to come by right then. And it was interesting because the Paddle Georgia people were very spread out. It wasn't like one big group of 300 people traveling down the river at the same pace, which is kind of what I was anticipating. But they were nice and slow and quiet. And so actually they all passed us while we were on that break.
Mm-hmm.
The sweep came and asked if we were with them.
The reason why we were stopping as well, I mean, I particularly like the very long siesta, but also the wind was really huge yesterday, and you get calmer water in the morning and in the evening as it's cooler. So we were trying to avoid really having to fight the waves and the pushback of the wind that was coming directly at us. Which we still had to do when we left.
And we had kind of this most serious, luckily we only had a couple miles to go afterwards, but it was definitely felt like we were on the sea for a minute.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
There were big waves, and I think it's all preparing us for the final, the very final stretch, and learning how to work with the wind as we go, and how to work with the waves, and there's definitely some value in that as it's coming.
And so, yes, we were going to towards Adamson Fish Camp, I was in the front and got to the fish camp first. Because the river makes new places, so if you look at the map rather than what the water is doing, it can be more confusing to actually what's happening. But anyway, I got to the fish camp first, and Sarah.
Well, because we were trying to go left, because the maps were telling us that we wanted to go like left around the island. So Kathy was waiting for me. Rachel was ahead and kept on plowing through, and Kathy was waiting for me to go left. And then we looked at the maps and we're like, oh wait, and it seemed like the water was actually pushing us into this other thing to go left. And we were like, did Rachel go wrong? But then we pulled off into some cypress trees. Luckily there were some, and we got calm and we looked at the maps and we were like, oh no, okay, this, the water, everything's shifted here. So so she's ahead of us. We called you. You were like, I'm here. We're like, great. So we followed after.
And I walked up because it was a like formal place rather than like a sandbar. So, and we didn't have any kind of reservation or anything. So I realized I needed to go find somebody to talk to. And I walked up and they came around up a lane and kind of came around a corner, and there was this country store kind of thing. And two incredibly nice people sitting out front, just hanging out. One of them said, looks like you've been paddling. And I said, yeah, I've been paddling for 33 days. And the woman said, oh, are you doing the Atlanta to the Atlantic? I was hoping y'all would stop here. And so that was the beginning of an incredible evening of hospitality from the community at Adamson Fish Camp.
Adamson Fish Camp. We feel like everyone should go to Adamson Fish Camp. They're so awesome.
And Miss Christy is the proprietor, and her son Ryan is the sort of manager of the whole place. And we met their neighbors and their friends, and we got fed really well. I got taken out on a boat by a family that to show me how to do like catfish trot lines and using soap as bait.
Yeah, the zote, mm-hmm. Mexican soap, the pink stuff, apparently is the best and the cheapest way to bait a fish around here.
Yeah. If you want the small fish, not the big fish, but the small fish are tastier.
Yeah.
So this is what we learned.
Yeah, and while Rachel was out on the boat, Kathy and I were served a, you know, 5-star meal.
Steak and lobster and
steak
sushi.
Steak and lobster with an asparagus, mm-hmm. And some potatoes with a Ben whipped up, the guy who was with Miss Christie. And that was incredible. And then Kathy's friends showed up to pick her up with a ton of sushi. So we just had incredible food last night. So grateful. And Miss Christie was very excited about the sushi too. So that mm-hmm. was great. Yeah. Just really lovely folks who've had this property for a long time. Ryan has really impressed me with, he works, what did he say? He's a scientist too. He works with woodpeckers for the federal government. So it's not the forestry. The other guy was the forestry, but do you remember what he said? Where he said he worked? It's like some department or something.
Yeah, but it's
interior.
Maybe like it's on a military base, basically, yeah. With a lot of I can't remember which site it was. Yeah.
But he's also like I really loved how when he. When he was talking to us, and he really has studied the history of the place, and especially in relationship to the Skokie Creek Nation, and he said something about how like he doesn't really consider himself an owner of this land; he's just a caretaker or steward of this land for now, and he's like built his house out of all the wood he's found and. Yeah, just really upstanding citizen, person of the world. It's great to meet him and his mom. So, yeah. Are you still running?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was kind of our night. We hung out and...
We got to sleep in a little cabin.
Yes, the cabin.
Take a shower.
Was key. Again, generosity. Amazing.
And Miss Christie got up and made us coffee and saw us off.
Yep. And we'll talk about the rest of this morning later tonight.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.